Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Thank you, Lord. In verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. So we got no excuse. And godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. By what? The promises. If you don't know the promises, ain't no way a divine nature is going to be manifested. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, in other words, if you put them into practice, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For as for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be neglected to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present, in this present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you will always have reminder of these things after my decease. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we know, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they what? Were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a what we call a prophetic nature. It's a prophetic nature. It's the nature of God. God is a prophetic nature. If you notice that in a prophetic nature, these are words that are spoken to promote, to confirm, to bring divine order, to bring purpose, to bring events, to bring warnings. All of these are released from the throne room of God, from the eternal heavens, through his created beings, through the created nature of humanity, into the temporary reality. Why? So his people are encouraged and prepared. I'm going to. It is his nature to reveal his love. That is a prophetic nature. God spoke everything into existence. Everything according to God from his, it's hard to say his location because he's not in a location. He's everywhere. From his position, everything that comes from him is spoken. Does everybody get it? The Father thinks, Jesus speaks, the Spirit moves. Spirit meaning what? Breath. They're one. So in this, the prophetic nature are words spoken that promote, that confirm. That bring divine order. That bring purpose. Manifest events or prepare for events. What else does this do? It brings warning. From the throne of God, from the eternal heavenlies, through his created nature. Are we his created nature? Yes. Of humanity, which we are in the what? Temporary reality. So his people are encouraged and prepared. It is his nature to reveal his love. How does he do that? Release. His prophetic nature. That's him. Again, that's why there are things that are founded on prophetic words. You speak light, you eat light. Amen? The word says that the word of God is a light on what? Onto our path. Amen? It's a light onto our path. Why? Because when God speaks, it becomes, anything that's not will be. He takes stuff out of nothing. He takes nothing and turns it into something. You and I were nothing and he turned us into something. Anyways, in this time, his prophetic nature is being revealed more and more and more. People are missing it. They're ignoring it. And they're falling into many traps of the enemy. Because they're not taking heed to what's going on around them. We talked about being aware. There's an awareness that people must awaken to. Or they'll step into a trap. The seven feasts of the Lord are a prophetic nature of God. We are entering what we call the three fall feasts. That are not yet been fulfilled. But all the other four feasts Jesus fulfilled. There are seven feasts, meaning complete and perfect. These are God's prophetic nature that recycle every year. In the Old Testament, they celebrated all the Jews. It was for the Jews because the Jews are supposed to be, and Israel is supposed to be the carriers of God's message through the world. In fact, Paul and many of the Bible, all of these people were Jews. The men that wrote the Gospels and everything else, they're all Jews. What were they doing? Proclaiming the God, the truth to the world. But then many rejected because it became prideful and arrogant. And they didn't want to be removed from their seats and positions of authority. So the seven feasts are a prophetic nature of God. And to know them are critical. To understand them is critical. We are entering the three fall feasts, again, that have not been fulfilled yet, and only Jesus can fulfill them. The feast that's coming up, and they will be in October, so we're gonna watch a big transition here. Now, fall starts September. I think it's like September 22nd or something like that. That's when fall begins here for me and you in September. But the fall feasts, there's preparation for it to be manifested in October. In fact, October 3rd is the first fall feast, which is known as the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Whatever. It's known as the Day of Trumpets. It begins on October 3rd. October 12th was known as the Feast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. And then we have the third feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's on October 17th. Again, September 22nd begins fall, the season of fall for me and you here. But the feast, everything is being prepared for the feast. God is preparing his children for the feast. Why? There's something critical about the feast this year. There's going to be a tremendous transition. They will not be fulfilled, but they will be manifested. What do I mean by manifested? There's an area where trumpets will be heard. The sound, remember we talked about a new sound that's coming across the earth all around. There'll be visitations and revelations of many people. God is awakening. Remember we talked about a time of judgment. All of these things are according. Things are going to begin to hasten in the beginning of these feasts. For the next 3.5 years to 7 years, these feasts will be hastened and manifested more and more and more until they're fulfilled. Nobody knows the day and hour of anything. Only God knows. Amen. But we know that we are in a time that things are going to be not only revealed, but there's going to be great deception. There's going to be great delusion. People are going to be taken out of position. People will be deceived by doctrines of demons. Many will fall from the faith. Many will be afraid because of the wars and rumors of wars. In fact, many people are transitioning from where they used to be, knowing that what they've been involved in was corrupt, even though they were corrupt. They might have repented and said, I'm getting out of here, like leaving the Democratic Party. Many people are walking away from the Democratic Party and coming into the other parties. Not that every party is perfect. There's only one party that's perfect. That's Christ and his kingdom. We're the party of eternal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, in this day of the day of trumpets, it's known as the civil year, the new year, civil new year. And it's an entrance into the way what we call days of awe. Days of what? Awe. The blast of the trumpets, and the trumpet is to awake and to repent, to come out of complacency. Everything is about coming out of complacency because, first of all, to the body of Christ, it's to awaken the lukewarm. And to the world, it's to awaken. Exodus 19, we'll start at verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set boundaries for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to them, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. In other words, don't become one flesh with your spouse for this period of time. They're being sanctified. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very long, so that all the people were in the camp trembled. Now this trumpet, not only was it long, but it kept getting louder, louder, and louder. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through the gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you have warned us, saying, set boundaries around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, go down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. This is when they first heard the trumpet. That was the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets. It's the Feast of Trumpets. What happened? God spoke, didn't he? He revealed himself to the people. Can you imagine those people? I mean, thought they didn't know anything about aliens, but man, everybody that would happen today would say, it's aliens! You know, they'd be freaking out big time. Mount Sinai, blast of the trumpet. That was the first trumpet sound that the people heard. And they heard the Lord's voice audibly. Everybody. Nobody did not hear his voice. Think about that. Because that's going to happen again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, those who are past, deceased. And it doesn't matter whether they're cremated or buried. God knows exactly where your dust is. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. With a voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead will what? The dead in Christ will rise first. Now think about this. When Jesus rose from the dead, those in Christ were raised. Those he ministered to, they rose from the dead with him. And what happened? They went into the towns, being a witness. Well, this event's going to be a witness. They call it a rapture. It's the removal of the bride of Christ. And those who have passed, I don't know how God's going to do it. But I don't know if graves are going to shake and open up. I don't know what's going to happen. But they will rise first. And then those who are alive will be taken up right with them as they're going up. Look at verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Why? The Lord will not touch the earth. He will be in the air, just like in Mount Sinai. He spoke the same thing. The trumpet sounded. They heard his voice. He did not touch the earth. He spoke from above the mountain. And this is going to happen again. And thus, so we will meet them in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord, the next time he touches the earth, well, when he comes to establish his 1,000-year reign. That will be right after the Feast of Atonement. Because the Feast of Atonement is when he's going to atone. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Is everybody okay? So we see here the removal of the bride, the sound of the shofars or the trumpet, it announces his presence. It's gathering, it's warning, and it's a preparation of battle. So the shofar is used. That's why a priest blows the shofar. Its purpose is to announce God's presence. It's to gather together. It's to bring warning or begin to start the battle. Amen? Hallelujah. In Exodus 30, this is known as Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Again, these three feasts are critical. Not enough people know about these feasts. Why? Because they're caught up in just the things of the New Testament in the area. But even though the Old Testament is a shadow of things of the New Testament. If you don't know part of the Old Testament and understand, you're not going to fully understand the New Testament, the New Covenant. In Exodus 30 and verse 9. And you shall not offer strange incense on it, or burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour out a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns of the altar once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is the most holy day. It is the most holy day. What they used to do is, again, until Jesus fulfilled all of in the areas where he became our atonement. Amen. So we're covered by his blood. But Israel had to make atonement once a year. And the priests had to make atonement for themselves. And then he had to make atonement for the Israel nation. So they used to, they'd take a goat or whatever it was, and they'd take this goat. They'd actually have two goats. One they would sacrifice. The other one, they would put a red ribbon on the altar, the horn of the altar. And they would put, and they would lay, the priest would take the sins of the nation, of the people, and they would sacrifice the goat, an animal, and then they would lay the hand, the priest would lay hands on the goat. That's where the word scapegoat come from. And then that goat would be let go and it'd fall off a cliff and die. When it died, the ribbon that was red on the temple of the altar would become white. Now, those are supernatural things, aren't they? We don't have to do that anymore. It's supernatural that God came into this physical realm and died and paid the price for us. I mean, that's supernatural enough. He had revealed himself to us. But that's what the word, you know, everybody's already heard the saying, scapegoat, oh, you're a scapegoat. Well, that means that that person is receiving all the sins or the judgments due to other people. But that's what was happening. So now that was known as the Feast of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which follows the Feast of Trumpets. So think about the Feast of Trumpets, the warning and preparation. The Feast of Atonement is bringing people to repentance and preparation. Everything is about preparing. God prepares. That's what we're talking about today. God is a prophetic nature that always prepares. Always prepares. He warns. He lets people know. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Holy Spirit tell you things to come? What's he doing? He's preparing and he's warning. He's educating us. He's training us. Hallelujah. Yom Kippur is known as the most holy day of the Jewish people. Jesus, of course, paid the price of resurrection for all mankind and humanity. Now, the thing about they used to have to do this once a year, but Jesus did it once for all. Past, present, and future, as long as you what? Repent. It's not activated unless you repent. Amen. Again, to the Jews, this is the most holy day. Would you turn to Revelation 16, starting at verse 12? Now, there's another reason why we're talking about this and why we're entering fall this September, because there was a prophetic word released years ago that in this fall of 2024, it'll be the beginning of the fall of Babylon. So we know that these feasts must cooperate with the things of the fall of Babylon. Amen? So we're getting ready for all of this. In fact, I was watching something this morning, just because I always like to find out what's going on and how the gold is going on, how the silver, what's going on with the other nations are doing, and how they're preparing for the dismantlement of our currency and the resetting of new currency. Why? Because we're entering a whole new world order. It will start out by the order of God, but it end up by the order of evil. So in the order of God, which he's bringing his divine order, see, he will fulfill these feasts, but he's preparing his people for these feasts and warning so they don't miss, because the next feast to be fulfilled is the removal of the bride. And we don't want to miss that. So there's a lot of stuff getting ready to happen. Why? Because Babylon is fighting for their life. The Antichrist regimes are fighting for their existence, for their position. See, they've been in a place of never wanting people to know that they existed. Now they're fighting for their existence. Why? Because they've been exposed. And so we're seeing more and more exposure every day all over the world. Every day. This is not just United States. This is global. This is this whole realm, this temporary realm that's being shaken. Why? Making room for the eternal realm. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 16 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Now, do you know that the Euphrates River is drying up? Why? So the military can cross over. And its waters was dried up. Woohoo! So that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. What's east? China. Think about this. Do you know that people that are big investors, there's a difference in price in gold and silver. There's two or three different prices. I think there was three of them. So these large multi-billion dollar brokers, they'll buy gold because there's only three locations in the world that they can exchange it out. They'll buy gold in one place and they'll sell it to another place and make, and it's $30 more an ounce or $500 more an ounce or whatever it is. I think it's $80, yeah. It's $80 more an ounce. so they can gain $80 an ounce of gold. Then they turn around and sell it to another, and they turn around and sell it to another. So this is how, there's three locations. I think it goes from 30 to 80. But because they're trying to outdo, they're trying to let their finances rescue them in the world system. So they know that the world system economy is collapsing. It no longer, especially the U.S. The U.S. has been the major center for all world trade and everything else. And of course, it's been this is where Babylon's been. And so in this, all of this trading, because everything's associated with currency, trade, whatever. That's how people survive these days. They're no more trading for goods or trading for talents. They're trading for gold and silver and currency. That's how they're purchasing goods. And so in this, these major brokers are able to constantly collect. In fact, they've 40 million tons of silver has been purchased by one. And I mean, it's just incredible the research these individuals do. Do you know that all the solar products are made of silver? All solar computers, silver. Gold is more backed up for currency, but the silver is used for production. So it's going to come to a time when their storehouses cannot provide enough silver. It will come right out of it will depend on how much they mine to get out. That means the prices will go up. We're going to find interest rates go down because they're going to lie. So they got to reduce interest rates. When interest rates go down, gold and silver goes up. And of course, inflation goes quite a bit up. So there's going to be a lot of deception before the crash of the U.S. currency, but it's around the corner. This is not something that's going to take for years. This is around the corner. See, when Babylon begins to fall, the first thing that's going to begin to fall is its currency. So it's a process of Babylon falling, which is going to start the end of this month. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. All right. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of a false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and he keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. That will be the Feast of Atonement. Ooh. Does everybody understand that? In fact, the Bible says that the blood will rise up to the bridle of the horses. Hallelujah. There's the final feast is called Sukkot. And it's known as the Feast of Tabernacles. It's S-U-K-K-O-T. Sukkot. It is a Feast of Tabernacles. It's 7 days of rejoicing. And Leviticus 23. I will start at 34. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. 35. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 36. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything on its day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Does everybody see that? Praise God. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. You shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days, and all who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt or bondage. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Rejoicing for 7 days. And go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So listen, the dragon is who? The serpent of old and who? Satan. Same dude. Multiple names. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for what? 1,000 years. This is known as the Feast of Tabernacle. For the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be what? Priests of God, of Christ, and shall reign with him for what? 1,000 years. Glorified bodies. Woohoo. When 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp and of the saints and the beloved city. Now, I want you to see something. They went up. That means there were they? Demonic forces from where? Beneath. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small and the great standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then the dead and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you definitely want to make sure your name doesn't get blotted out. This is the prophetic nature of God. This is what's happening. We are in such a prophetic fulfillment time. So we are going to watch more and more. We're going to hear more, see more, watch more and more things happen. Revival is just not about healing and deliverance. It's about awakening. Because you can't have a revival without people being awakened somehow. So signs and wonders are to awaken someone or hope that they become awakened. The Bible says that you and I are a sign and wonder to the earth, to the world. We're a sign and wonder as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the carriers of truth. And he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we are more than conquerors. We are end time warriors and third dimensional warriors. That's why we got to keep battling no matter what's coming. Why? Because we're there to bring in the next three feasts. We're there to bring in the kingdom of Christ. We're there to promote, support, expose, and warn. Remember, Jesus said, if you don't warn them, you'll be judged with them. So we got to warn them. And everything we do, wherever you go, God will bring somebody across. That doesn't mean you go and knock on houses and whatever. You don't need to do it. God will send it individuals. This is personal. This is a face-to-face thing. Just face-to-face. You never know where you go. Heck, I went and donated blood yesterday. I had to go dump some blood. And the girl that took care of me asked me a simple question. Man, we got on a conversation. She was had goosebumps all over her. She just recently got saved, left her three booklets, gave her an eternal library. So it prepared her and equipped her. Again, no matter where we go, there's always someone. Customers that come into the store. Wherever I don't care where you go, there's always somebody that God might. That's what you need to do is ask him, Lord, send someone across my path today. Wherever I go. Pickups. Man, when we're picking up furniture, we pray for everybody. Do you mind if we pray for you? Don't just get furniture and run. Pray for them. Do you mind if we pray for you? Amen. Leave them booklets. Arm them. That's our responsibility. I always warn people. You know what's coming? Are you ready? Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you know where you're going? You know, ask them. Nothing wrong with it. Preparation, warning, get ready, because we're about to see things unfold with ripple effects. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. Lord, what you imparted in us, protect, bring to remembrance, keep us stirred up so that we're activated and ready and not complacent or dull-hearted, but alert in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.